If you believe what they tell us, you'd believe in ages and stages. And as you enter the golden years, your life is all but over. In this new podcast, we aim to dispel the fusty myths and apparent prerequisites of old age. You can hear the inverted commas. We set out to prove that age is not just a number, but more importantly, a state of mind. We walk you gently through the joy and despair of coming to terms with the golden years while upgrading ourselves to what we like to call the platinum years. With a host of guests from all walks of life, we discuss their philosophy on aging well. We aim to bring you a manifesto for living a longer, healthier, happier life, and what reaching old age signifies to each of our guests. One thing is for sure. There's never been a better time to embrace old age. We have the time, experience, knowledge, infinite wisdom, well, we hope you do, and more importantly, the cash, or so the millennials will have us believe, to live life to the fullest. So say no to age discrimination, and yes to a long and happy life.
Hello there. Well, I might be forced to stay at home, but I can still continue with my podcasts. Just to let you know, I'm recording this podcast in what I like to call my home studio. Imagine something like the famous Abbey Road Studios. Then forget them. As I said last time, it is still a good moment to embrace old age, even though it's a tough time for the especially vulnerable who have to stay indoors. For those of us just that little bit older, I'd like to think we can play a useful part in getting the economy moving again. After all, some of us will be able to spend money on theatres, concerts, hotels, holidays, restaurants, once we can do all that again. The real issue is going to be when we feel safe to get back to our previous life. But so many people will be asking that question whether or not they're over 70. Oh dear, what week is it now on the lockdown? I do know the day, though. If you remember, in the previous podcast, I was reflecting on the difficulties of being stuck indoors, yet being rather anxious about going out. Shall we talk about joggers? Why have they not been allocated some hours of their own, say between 4 and 6 in the morning? Anyway, here's another extract from my lyric on the subject of self-isolation and social distancing. A woodland walk seemed like a good wheeze. When people approached, I lurked in the trees. But they assumed I'm a sexual pest. The next thing I knew, I was under arrest. I'm innocent, was all I could shout. Too bored to stay in, too scared to go out. Oh, I miss those days when I felt good, could leave my comfortable neighbourhood. I'd walk into a bar or a club, embrace my friends in a favourite pub. Oh, do you know, I think I'm ready to see people I don't even like. Let's start recording now. So this should be recording us.
They are recording, it's recording in progress.
Yes, it's recording both of us.
Oh, is it?
Perfect.
All right. Oh, brilliant. Well, then we'll just have a little pause and then I'll start again properly. Thank you, helper, Mary's helper.
That's what husbands are for.
Yeah, well, that's another whole discussion, I guess. Yeah. Right. Now, today, rather than interviewing another one of my cabaret characters, I can actually interview a real person, someone who's making a significant difference, both where she lives and elsewhere. I'll be talking to Mary Clear, who is chairperson of Incredible Edible in Todmorden, West Yorkshire. Incredible Edible grow fruit, herbs and vegetables around the town that are for everyone to share. And they also run events to help strengthen the local community. This initiative began in one town, but it's so inspirational that it's spread throughout the United Kingdom and now throughout the world. Mary is also a death doula, and I'd like to ask her about this as well. Hello, Mary.
Good evening on this beautiful, beautiful day.
It is, isn't it? It's gorgeous here, even in London. Anyway, thanks very much for joining me. Now, Let me first of all ask a question I ask every guest. What does too young to stay in, too old to go out mean to you?
Too young to stay? Well, I think it's the heart's willing and the body's buggered.
Right.
Essentially. And the tolerance for fools, gibberish and alcohol is reduced.
Which is bad news.
Yes, which is
Some of it is.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Anyway, turning to Incredible Edible, would you like to tell us a little bit, or tell me, actually, a little bit about it and how it got started?
Okay. So in 2008, the beginning of that terrible, terrible economic crash, when we all woke up one day and saw what the bankers had really been up to, and it was most unpleasant. So a group of people in the town came together and thought, bugger this, what is it that we could do that would help our town? It would be sustainable and it would reconnect people with each other, with the soil, with the birds, with the bees. It would help educate children, older people, younger people could exchange skills. Now, we could have thought of all sorts of things. It could have been a push bike project or a charity shop, but we chose vegetables and we chose kindness and sharing, mainly because we thought, as humans, we're tribal people. So our towns, like our tribe, and what do tribal people do? They love to eat. And eating together and celebrating with food is really, really important. And also, you don't have to be a celebrity gardener. You don't have to read a book to stick a seed in, because vegetables, like children, they just want to be good. They just need shit and sunshine and off they go. So
how did you start? What did you start with? Right. And then what did you do to kind of build it?
Well, so we started our, obviously, we would have liked our own land, but we didn't have any. So our kind of watchword is, it's better to ask forgiveness than it is permission. So we started to identify mucky, shitty, horrible little bits of land and transform them, you know, a bus stop here, a car park there, into beautiful spaces with edible plants that anybody could do. So those were our first actions, to demonstrate, to model, look, here's a group of strangers who are willing to pick up litter, grow food, and do all of it for an altruistic reason, which is just to make our town lovely. So they were our very first things, and it very quickly developed from there as a kind of tourist attraction. So we quickly had a map designed and did vegetable tourism. And that's how we earn our money, by people coming from all over the world to look at vegetables. I know it sounds wacky, but it's absolutely true.
Right. And who, can anyone just pick these vegetables? And
absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. They're there. We grow in the. So today I know that there are. It's our best year ever for goose gogs. And we grew gooseberries because you can't really buy them in the shop. And older people in the 70s and 80s age range, they really remember gooseberries with some kind of heartfelt thing. So we thought, well, why not start planting gooseberries? So the older people can pay the kids a few bob to pick a marge tub full of gooseberries. So we grow things that people like. We grow a lot of strawberries near care homes for people with no teeth, because a good suck on a strawberry is a good thing. We grow peas for people with dementia. People that might not be able to speak or do much, put a bowl of peas in the pod in their lap, and they will automatically know how to pod them, which is so lovely. So, yeah, it's all there to be taken by anybody.
And at this particular time with lockdown and social isolating, particularly tricky for the elderly, do you think this initiative is of special use for them, or particularly helping them?
Well, the other thing we've done is, as many of us in the group are older people ourselves, we've noticed that over the years, successive governments have got rid of benches. So luckily, we've been on a campaign to put benches back. So I certainly know that people really are grateful for having somewhere to sit near open spaces, because we're in a poor town. We're in a valley with a lot of back-to-back housing. So public space to sit and enjoy nature is really important.
Yes, indeed. And other parts of England or the United Kingdom, they've sort of picked up on this and started their own way of doing it.
Yes. So we're not fussy. You know, we're not one of those groups who says, oh, we thought of it first, you can't do it. We say, do as you please. Copy everything we've done. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just take it all from our website. So there's about 110 in the UK, and then worldwide, 300, 400. So France is really big, which I can't speak French, and they're always writing long emails to us because they seem to like writing a lot of words, and we just write back, oh, bravo. hope they've got the hint. But the French are absolutely, it's called incroyable comestible or something. So it's really big in France and Europe, Africa, and is it called Shinkasa? Shinkasa?
I don't know. Yeah.
So, and America and New Zealand. Right. And our secretary has recently been to Taiwan, and another member to South Korea to talk about what we're doing.
And you get around, don't you?
I'm trying not to get around anymore, because I think the really important thing, and it does bring it home to you when you're older, is to make myself dispensable. So I want to empower other people to say, and they'll go, oh, no, Mary, you're the chairperson. You know what to say. And I say, how will they know in Japan? They won't know. Just say anything. So we're really, really trying to bring on a lot of younger people to go out there and spread the word.
Right. So I guess, I mean, these other places, people have come from abroad and seen what you do and talk to them, do.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Excellent. And then they've obviously got money, haven't they? They've obviously got the dollar, because they'll pay our airfare and they'll pay a nominal sum to the organisation for us to go over there and address some kind of meeting or conference or whatever.
Excellent. So are there any specific next steps, or is it just
carrying
on the good work?
We don't ever have next steps. No, we're living the moment, and we think small is beautiful. We're not because no one's paid. There's nobody gets any money. There's no office. There's no filing cabinet. We've got Facebook and websites and thousands of people on that. So we're not interested in those kind. Normally, when you have a good idea and a project, you build an empire, and we're quite strongly averse to building an empire. We think to stay nimble and small and frugal will last longer.
Right. And how many tourists do you normally get? Well, when you can get them?
Well, the tour guide tours. So this is how you can do a tour. You can download a map from our website, or you can go to the railway station and tourist information and pick up a free map, or you can book a tour. And our tour guide officially tours round about 1,000 people a year from all over. But no, we don't know how many people do their own touring round.
Right. Oh, do you just want to say what your website's called?
It's called www.incredible-edible-todmorden.org.
Oh, thanks, Mary, for telling us about that. Now, the other thing I wanted to discuss with you, you're a death doula. What does that mean, and how do you do that?
Oh, so a death doula is the opposite end of the journey of a birth doula. So a birthing doula helps on the way in, and a death doula can help on the way out. So I belong to an organisation, Death Doulas UK, and we've all been trained and insured. So the word doula means companion. So we're a companion, and that companion can do a whole variety of stuff to make your leaving easier for you. And one of the things might be walk your dog. Another thing might be if you're dying at home, everyone and his uncle wants to poke in and you're exhausted, you know, with all these people trooping through there. So you could look after the visitor experience to the deathbeds.
Right.
Could help with planning. So a lot of people contact Death Doula to say, I want to put my house in order, so we can help them with advanced planning or do not resuscitate and give them information about all those things. Because when your house is in order, you can live well and live better, you know, if you know you've made your preparations. So we can do hands-on stuff, making people comfortable, sitting with them through the night, a whole range of interesting things.
And do you mainly do that, go to their homes, or do you go to hospices?
Some people go have a doula in the hospital. Some people have them at home. And don't forget, death is a funny old thing, because there are lots of people who are dying. I don't know, let's say. So, for instance, I have at this moment a woman who is going to die, and we've been together now for 3 years. I've been supporting her. So, you know, normally when you want the hospice or something, it's at the very end. We can get involved at any stage in that process. And the other thing is, we can help after death with the plans for burial, and maybe supporting the family, signposting them to where they'll need help. And I'll just tell you this, because you're in London, because I am so very, very proud. The Science Museum last year launched its new medicine galleries. And in that gallery is Hope, Faith and Death. And I've got a love. There are two benches, and you can press it, and there's a little video, and you can hear me talking about what is a death doula. And I feel so lovely, because you have to sign a form, because nowadays, I suppose for financial reasons, the display stays there for 25 years. So it tickles me pink to think I might be dead and my grandkids will be able to go and listen to their old granny in the Science Museum, which will be lovely.
Yeah, it will be. Yes. Well, thanks, Mary. I seem to be hearing myself now on this microphone. I don't know what that means. Do you hear me echoing?
No, you've gone a bit flat on your microphone. Mine is, yours is coming up a bit now.
I think I'm back.
You were nodding off while I was talking.
Obviously just that tiniest little bit. But what I do to prevent that is I have a pin in my my hands.
And well
it
done.
Just digs me and wakes me up again when that kind of thing happens.
Absolutely.
One final question again, which I ask everyone I speak to, is what would your present self tell your younger self?
Oh, that I was clever. I would think I would say that I was beautiful and I was clever. You know, I think there are so many of us who look back at photographs of ourselves and think, why did I worry so much? I was lovely. And the gift of hindsight isn't actually a gift, is it? It's a curse. And I think it would have been nicer to feel clever when I was younger.
Well, we get more confidence, I suppose, as we get older.
Of course we do. That's the joy of being older.
Yes, that is one of the joys. That's absolutely true. And just not bothering so much about what people think.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of us, I really believe in grey power. We've got all those autumns on our back. We've got all that experience of organising and motivating people. And really, there should be less cruises with the grey pound and more getting out there and taking social action. That's what I think anyway.
Well, thank you. I think that's a very good place to finish. And thanks again, Mary, for talking
thank
to
you.
Me today.
Lovely to okay. talk to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Too Young to Stay In, Too Old to Go Out. The beauty of podcasts is that you can decide to listen while staying in or going out. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you did, please remember to spread the word. Keep up to date with future podcasts and events by subscribing and adding alerts to whichever platform you are listening on. I'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions on future topics or guests, so do get in touch.